Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, another edition of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant. Hi there, Paul.
Hi, Mark.
Hey, good to see you once again.
Thank you.
And continuing kind of a provocative discussion, at least provocatively titled, you're calling it The Empty Chair, and how we deal with the things after one of the spouses in a relationship passes away, and kind of how that can set up some real challenges for us.
Yeah, the empty chair thought process is, when you're married, you have two chairs and they sit next to each other and you do everything in partnership. And or at least many marriages that I have witnessed, and I have a lot of clients that I talk to, and I think almost every relationship falls into some type of a pattern. I can give my life and my marriage as an example. So it's not because we're trying to be traditional. It's just that my wife is a stay-at-home mom when the kids were little. And so now she's able to take care of the home. She cooks, and I get the privilege of being able to come home to and have a household that is well taken care of and come home to a fresh meal. But I do all the financial work. That's kind of my forte. It's what I do for a living. And so it's a very natural role for me to do the finances. Well, the empty chair is, what if I became incapacitated, or what if I died? Well, I have to exit the seat that I am in that our relationship has established. And so therefore, do I have a plan that if I can no longer do the financial work, that my wife knows where things are at, how to pay the bills, and is able to take over that role? And it becomes very, very difficult. Imagine if I had a health incident. So now my wife is not only caretaking for me, but she is also taking on every responsibility in the household where I actually performed some of the roles in our marriage and in the running of the household. And it's very rare that one person does everything. But so what does it mean to be prepared that if you are married and a spouse dies or becomes incapacitated, for the other spouse to be properly prepared? And we've talked about some of these issues of if someone passes away, that I've watched, it's my business, I watch people, clients die and leave a spouse behind. And the transition in the surviving spouse can oftentimes be a very difficult transition, specifically when they are utterly dependent on the now either incapacitated or deceased spouse for a certain role. I've had many clients who look at me and go, if I lose my spouse, and by the way, it could be the man or it could be the woman. It's just different people have different skill sets. And if I lose that person, they do all the finances. I don't even know where the checkbook is.
Right.
Okay. That's the gap that we're talking about. We need to fill in the gap. So, for example, in my system, when someone becomes a client of mine, we have obviously their estate plan, but we also have a detailed list of all their assets. So every year, we give them an asset list. We ask them to review it. And one of the main purposes is we want to make sure that they don't have a new asset that we have to now integrate into the plan. So if somebody opened up a bank account and they put it in their name, but they have a revocable living trust, well, that's a disconnect. We don't want something in their name when they have a trust. So therefore, we would have to reintegrate that into the plan properly. But in my system, someone passes away and I have a complete financial list of all of their assets. How much easier is it to present that to a surviving spouse who has never done the finances to say, don't worry, I know where everything is. I'll help guide you. We've done preparation for this moment. You are not going to have to watch the mail.
That would be a tremendous benefit.
Yeah. You're not going to have to watch the mail. Mm-hmm. You're not going to have to call the kids. You're not going to need to sit up at night grieving and worrying about whether you know where your money is or not, mm-hmm. and how to do something that just because of the roles you've never participated in. Now, my wife and I talk about our finances. We make financial decisions together, but she doesn't do the actual bill paying and other things, and she doesn't do the investing and those types of decisions. So have I set up a system to where my wife knows where our finances are and what to do? And the answer is absolutely. I have notes in that financial sheet of if something happens to me, do this with the building. Think about doing this. Contact
passwords.
This person. Yeah. Passwords are a tricky wicked. Oh, that's tough. Yes. So in all of this, what the discussion revolves around is your estate prepared? Have you even started an estate? Do you have a plan? And that's really where we're going to go today is talking about, do you have the legal? Do you have the tax issues? Do you have the professionals lined up so that when you become incapacitated, disabled, and or you pass away, that you are leaving something behind that is as smooth as possible for your surviving spouse? And then if you're not married, you know, sometimes it's even more difficult because the people you bring in, whether it's adult kids, if you have no children, who is going to come in and caretake? Do they know your preferences? Do they understand what you want? At least I've had 30 plus years of marriage with Mariana that she's got a pretty darn good idea of what my preferences are if I had a health incident, of how to take care of me. If I was single and didn't have that intimate relationship next to me, then even more work needs to be done because 'cause there is no other person next to you that you've potentially shared all these thought processes with. So whether you're married, whether you're single, we need to do a really good job of preparing an estate plan both on the legal front, the tax front, and in relationships. So here's the problem is that you've mentioned this stat many times, Mark, which is 50% of people, even at the age of 65 and older, still have no estate plan whatsoever.
Whatsoever.
That's a difficult stat.
Yeah.
and that, in other words, there's absolutely no preparation for a 75% chance that you are going to need help at one time or another. So if you're at the age of 65, statistically, and this is an older statistic, by the way, so there is a 75% chance that you at one point of time or another, you are going to need someone to stand next to you and assist you because of some health incident. And I think that stat is probably even higher now because medical technology has become so much better that they keep us living, but I'm not so sure that medical technology is giving us a better quality of life. It keeps us alive longer, which means that you probably need more assistance down the line than less assistance, because things that would have taken our life, now we can save you, but it's rare you get put back into the same healthy position after a health incident. So if you are already compromised, but you're living longer in a compromised state, then estate planning has just become that much more important.
Yeah.
It's become that much more critical to ensure that you have the proper people around you. And that doesn't matter if you're married or whether you're single. If you don't have any estate planning, then you are putting yourself behind the eight ball because there is no plan. There is no document. There's nothing to look at. And people who care about you are trying to step in and they're guessing. That's a horrible place to be for the helpers. And it probably means that you're not really comfortable with their assistance either. So you're going to fight giving up control to them. But it could have been resolved, or at least it could have been mitigated that that sense of they don't know what's happening and they're making decisions for me that are solely up to them. Well, that's because we didn't do good planning. So this issue of planning is really critical. It needs to be done, but yet for some reason we drag our feet. We don't like to talk about this issue. I get that to a large degree.
Or one person in the relationship does and the other one doesn't.
Agreed with that too, which is I would do this. I have some clients who say my spouse just won't do it, so I'm here to do it on my own. Okay, that's a really tough pickle for me in a community property state. But yeah, I'll help the person who's in front of me if they can't get their spouse on board. So you're right. There's many reasons why people don't come to the table and take this step. But I can tell you that when the phone rings and someone is already in the crisis, it is far more difficult for everyone involved. And it is far, far more costly, far more costly. Yeah. And so if we would prepare this area of our life and get things situated, we would give the creator of the estate plan more peace that, okay, at least I've got something in place. And now we can start feeding information to the helpers who are in the plan to say, this is where you go. This is where this information is. In my system, I think we take a lot of additional steps than what other attorneys take. At least that's what I've seen when other plans come to my desk and I look at the packet and I go, is this everything? Yeah, that's everything they gave us. So we actually give our clients forms that are directed towards their healthcare agent. So what – Here's a question that everyone should have answered. If you had a health incident and you could not be taken care of at home, well, there's first question. Do you even want to be cared for at home? And can we financially afford you being at home? And if the answer is no, it was a larger health incident and we needed to care for you in a different place, in some sort of an assisted living, what should your spouse or children or those who are going to help you, what should they be looking for? What type of a facility would be attractive to you? And so we ask questions like that to our clients so that they can fill it out. And now if the incident happens and someone else has to make a decision, at least they have some sort of a guideline, some sort of a guideline to say, I have something from your voice that would give me guidance, that would give me some ideas, and I'm just not making it up. Instead, I have something in writing that gives me the thought process of you to make a better decision. When that is involved, then you are being well taken care of because you said, oh, yes, this is the type of facility I want to live in. So there's less feeling of control. There's less feeling that I'm being manipulated. And it's a smoother process for everybody involved. These are the things that need to be detailed. This is far more than just having a will, far more than just having a trust, far more than just having a financial or healthcare power of attorney. There are other questions, other forms, other things that we need to prepare because when something happens to you, the role that you play, whether it's in a marriage situation or solely for yourself, there is an empty chair there and someone has to sit in it. And the question is, are they prepared to sit down in that seat and take over the role that you have performed in the marriage? Is your spouse ready? Or if not, do you have the professional relationships lined up so that they know where to go? Or if you're single, who is going to sit down and who knows your finances? Do they know where your finances are? Do they know what you desire for healthcare decisions? Do you have anything in place at all because you're about ready to leave an empty chair? And that is the worst feeling that you will have. And that is putting everyone else in a really bad predicament if we don't use your voice.
Okay, looking at the reality of the empty chair, it's going to happen one day in all of our lives. And do we have a plan you like the way Paul talks about this subject and his approach to it, and you want to find out more about his services, how do people get in touch with you, Paul?
Head over to our website, legacyandfaith.com. There's past podcasts, upcoming educational opportunities, ways to communicate with us, and it's all found at our website, legacyandfaith.com.
Okay, back with more of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant in just a moment.
Hi, this is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. Did you know that more than 75% of people that are 65 and older will at some point in their lifetime need some type of assistance due to a health incident? I want you to join me on Saturday, September 28th at 5 p.m. for a discussion about how to make sure that you are financially, legally, and practically ready to meet those challenges. The National Alzheimer's Association, in-care home specialists, financial experts, and myself will be discussing how to properly prepare you and your finances. This event is designed to provide the clarity and guidance you need for the peace of mind you desire. So join me on Saturday, September 28th at 5 p.m. at the South Bellevue Community Center for this critical discussion. You can find out more about this free event and how to register at legacyandfaith.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant, and continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, the Legacy and Faith Show this week, getting real with the reality of the empty chair that's going to happen in our life someday, and are we prepared for it? And Paul has been going through some of the hard choices we need to make and to be prepared. Sounds to me like you're really mainly emphasizing as we get into this, you have to have some relationships in your life that you trust. You got to let some people into your life.
Yeah.
Whether it's someone like you, an estate planning attorney, or some other help. You were also saying, too, that you a lot of times don't see this kind of help coming from the church.
Yeah.
And
I mentioned that last week, and that we tend to rally around people at the incident
for a week or two.
Yep. But then we drop them like a hot potato. And part of that is that, you know, we all live busy lives and we have friends and we have people that are acquaintances at church, and we're moved by compassion. And we want to help people and step in, and that's a beautiful thing. But it's actually far more difficult 6 months after someone passes away, 9 months after someone, a year after somebody. So I guess as we think through relationships, has the church positioned themselves with a strategy to help people bring them into deeper relationships? Now, a lot of churches have that all kind of naturally built in.
Mm-hmm.
They have, whether it's home groups, whether it's Bible studies or other opportunities for people to be socially connected, all those things are fabulous because in that personal relationships, more intimate relationships, encouragement and praying over people can take place. It's more difficult if there's not a real good structure in the church about how to connect intimately with people. And so then it kind of becomes more of a home group issue of rallying around that person, not letting them fall through the cracks. Mm. But I would really love to see more churches have a very strategic, someone died and we have a surviving spouse, or we have kids left behind. Do we have a one-year program of walking
and
through the grieving
process? And
you have done
this
process.
Kind of thing with – you've helped churches and led these kinds of seminars and things.
Yeah, so. That is accurate. Mm-hmm. Available to come in and talk about estate planning specifically from a biblical perspective of why we should be taking responsibility. And that's really what we're talking about today is try to get a call to action to say – I mean, heck, you just mentioned it right here, which is this is inevitable. – Unfortunately, we are going to have a health incident. Mm-hmm. It's rare that we just die in our sleep, even though that's what we all hope.
Right.
Or if you passed away in an accident or something, then you may not be experiencing some health incident in your lifetime. But most of us are going to have in this earthly shell, we're going to – it's designed to wear out, unfortunately. Mm. That's the design. And so most of us will have some type of a health incident, and we're going to need someone to sit next to us and assist. But what we fail to recognize sometimes is, okay, I've got this estate plan. I've got these powers of attorney, and I've got these other documents. But the documents don't spring to life and step in and do the performance, someone else actually has to use them. That's just the legal tool to make sure somebody can help you. And so we still rely upon those around us to fill in the gap of the things that I do. And so, again, it kind of comes back to who are you talking to? And like you have appropriately said, who are the relationships, whether it's in the church, whether it's a financial advisor, whether it's a CPA, whether it's your estate planning attorney? Have you had these deeper conversations in preparation? And most of the time, the answer is no. So just the form I was talking about that gives questions for you to answer so that your healthcare agent can be more prepared. I don't see that in other estate planning firms. So in my opinion, that's a huge gap because now they have the power and authority to make healthcare decisions. Great. But is there any practical advice? Is there anything that guides them to understand how to take care of you? Not just that they have the legal authority so they can walk in and make doctor appointments, get your medical records. All that is very important. And that's what the legal document does. Yeah. But now we're talking more about the practical issue of there's a reality that you did, that you perform certain skill sets in the marriage. And now we're leaving your spouse without that skill set. It is not, unfortunately, uncommon that one spouse starts having health issues. The other spouse has to fill in with everything in the home and become the caretaker. Mm. And then all of a sudden, they fall ill because they're being just simply worn out. Mm. They're being worn down. So being prepared with the legal issues, with tax issues, we need to be ready because there's going to be benefits that someone brings to the table that are lost, and we need to fill in those gaps. And even knowing whether your estate is designed to go to probate, what is the probate process? Designed with a revocable living trust of whether it's going to avoid the probate process. Is the trust that you have actually really going to avoid probate? I've seen many, many trusts in my career.
They don't avoid it.
And they're not going to avoid probate.
Point? What's the point of that?
Well, yeah, it's that's a long story.
That's one of the main ideas behind a trust versus a will.
Yeah, it can be. And really where that's lost is that somebody created a trust, whether they did it themselves, whether they used an attorney. And then because there's no relationship with that attorney, life goes on. And so if I open up a new bank account, if I change jobs, then all of a sudden I'm starting to put the beneficiary of, you know, my spouse, my kids. I'm putting bank accounts in my own name again. I buy a new home. We move. We retire. And so I put the name of the house in, instead of in my trust, I put it in my own name or in our joint name. And all of a sudden the instrument, the trust, unless you have all of your finances integrated and connected to the plan, then the plan is not going to be able to function. And that's where I am an advocate of having a long-term relationship with your attorney, not just a one-and-done document. The one-and-done document is actually a false sense of security that I've got it all taken care of. Well, actually, no, you really don't. And for many people, I just met with somebody yesterday. They haven't looked at their plan in 20 years. And one of their comments is, well, 20 years ago, we didn't have what we have now. Well, because they did it when at some point, now they're retired. They got the kids out of the house and their kids stopped sucking their finances dry. So they were actually able to save something and they built something more. And now all of a sudden, it's a whole different estate. There's no way that a 20-year-old plan could meet today's challenges. So there's many people out there that simply have not updated their information, have not updated their estate plan. And so why do most trusts still not work properly? Well, because they haven't been looked at in 10, 15, 20 years. And there's so many things that change in the law, in taxes. And you know what? Just in our experience as attorneys, I keep learning stuff. And so therefore, I get the benefit of my wisdom going into my documents. But if I just do one document and say sayonara, you don't get the benefit of me growing over the past 5 years. Mm. And so therefore, not updating your legal documents is a big gap for most people. Even if you just came into the office to say, review what I've done and make sure I'm on target, make sure it's going to work for me. These are my goals. And I can look at it and say, yeah, that is still working. Get that over here and do this. At least you would have the security that things are moving in the same direction as what you thought. Mm. So are you positive? When's the last time you've reviewed your estate? That's critical for this empty chair discussion, which is if you haven't reviewed anything for the past 5, 10, 15, 20 years, then your empty chair scenario is going to be the reality of those that need to support you, whether it's because of a health incident or whether because you pass away. And your plan, even though it was originally designed for one purpose, may not accomplish that purpose because so much has changed. So you may be heading towards probate. Do you have relationships with other professionals, financial advisors, CPAs, that will help guide the family to the proper result? And are they aware of what your desires are and what your needs are? If you had to stand up from your chair, are there other professionals that your spouse has that would give them the confidence to take over your roles? And so these are all very important but difficult questions. And I know it's no fun to think about. It's difficult to think about, gosh, if I had a health incident, is my spouse ready? Can my spouse wash his own clothes? Chances are no. Can my spouse do the finances when I've managed them the entire time? Is my plan ready to not go to probate? And is my plan ready, not just on the legal front, but on the practical front? Have I given enough information so that I can be taken care of and the people who help me will not struggle? They will have as much information as possible so that they're not in a bad predicament. They're already in a bad predicament. They got to help you. So make it easier for them. You got to do this thing called estate planning properly.
Okay, getting ready for that empty chair. It's a plan you have to have. And if you'd like to find out more about Paul's services, how do they do that, Paul?
Head over to our website, legacyandfaith.com. There's past podcasts, upcoming educational opportunities, ways to communicate with us, and it's all found at legacyandfaith.com.
It's the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.